It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew 20, chapter 24. We're going to begin reading with verse 27. Matthew 24:27. Great study today, and so I hope that you had the opportunity to follow along in your scripture, but at least to listen and enjoy the study. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here, Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, I'd love for you to do that. We've got many studies there, Plan of Salvation, and the Constitution is there as well. And it would be parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. Love for you to let us know that you're listening and pray that you are enjoying the studies. Matthew chapter 24, beginning to read with verse 27. Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What a scripture. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we had the opportunity today to come and to enjoy this time. And so please that you would just guide and lead us, Father, just every word. This is so important because I believe this is an area that no one speaks about. Very few preachers preach on, and we need to be made aware of what is coming, and it could come any day. We could begin this tribulation period. So please, dear Father, please that you would guide and lead us through this study today, that you would show us the way to be born again so we do not have to go into the tribulation period, but make us very aware of what is coming. And we can see very clearly, Father, great destruction, great terror. It will not be faced by the believers, true believers, those that have come by faith to Jesus, but it will be faced by all those that have rejected the truth and went by way of some religion instead of following after the precious Word of God. So please, guide and lead us now today through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that in verse 25 of Matthew 24, it says, "Behold, I have told you before. I have told you this. I have told you what's coming." And we have a study in 2 Thessalonians, and he repeats that process, and he says almost the exact words Paul does. This is the Lord Jesus here. Paul repeats those same words, that "I have told you that we are not in the tribulation period." Someone must have lied to them. Someone told them that they have fallen into the tribulation. It was because of all the tribulation, all the trials and the testing and all the trouble that they had in the Thessalonica area in the church. And so that was the reason that some believed they were in the tribulation. They were not at that time. We are not in the tribulation right now, but it is coming, and it's coming very soon. And we need to understand, as we have said in the past, that your modernist and your liberals, as they want us to move away from the Word of God, move away from the Ten Commandments, move away from God's law, and most of all, move away from God's grace, not understanding the need of salvation, that you can have your sins forgiven. All these things must be understood, and then you can recognize you're a sinner and you need salvation. So please, that we come and we understand that this is God's truth. We need to know it. And as we said in the past many, many times, stay pleased with the old King James. That will be the best for you. And if your preacher or your Sunday school teacher uses some other interpretation, then much of it is the same. That's the way the devil works. But he just sneaks in those little things that take away, literally, the power of God. The devil's good at that. See that you don't be tricked by him. So please, look to the Word of God. Now here's what's coming. Verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus. This is his coming. Now the rapture of the church, which takes place prior to the tribulation, he will meet those believers in the air. Those that have died, have went into the grave, they will come forth out of the grave, receive their glorified bodies, and meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And so will we. If we are alive at the time, we'll do the same. As we leave this old earth, we will receive our glorified bodies, and we will forever be with the Lord. And we're going to go up during this 7 years of terrible tribulation here upon earth. What's going to take place in heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so what a joy it's going to be to those that trusted in the Lord Jesus and him alone, not for anything else, not for your baptism or your church membership or anything. It is faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ that he can save you and take your sins away. And he can and he will if you just come by faith and trust in him. Now here, this is not the rapture of the church. This is something that's going to take place 7 years later. After the 3.5 years of seeming peace, then the old devil himself is going to show himself just like his true being, and he is going to call himself God. He will stop the worship that the Jews have been doing and bring their offerings and their sacrifices as they did back in the time, because you see the temple's going to be rebuilt. But that old devil is going to come up, and he is going to be the son of perdition, as the scripture calls it, and he's going to take his place that he believes is his. And he will sit in the Holy of Holies upon the throne of God and declare himself to be God. That's 3.5 years into this tribulation period. And then the last 3.5 years, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't eat, you can't work, you can't live. There'll be slaughtered many believers that refuse to take the mark of the beast, the 666. All that takes place during this tribulation period. But the end, and that's what we're talking about here. The end, when the Lord Jesus comes. Now let's look at this, because we got several verses of Scripture. I hope that you're able to open your Bibles and go to these Scripture verses, because it's so important. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Once again, let me read over here in verse 27 of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 27, right where we started today. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Once again, I'm back in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, all the kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let's go to Jude, which is just a book in front of this, probably just one page away if you've got your Bible. There's only one chapter in Jude, and so it's just under verses. And so we're going to go under verse 14 is where we're going to start. Verse 14. Now look at this. This is wonderful. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that's clear. And this was prophesied by Enoch, the seventh from Adam. The seventh from Adam. It was 2,000 years ago now, and this was almost 4,000 years ago, or 3,000 at least, prior to this, that is announced in Jude. Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment, the scripture says. Let's go back to Zechariah. We got so many scripture verses here that people ignore. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. And for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. This again was recorded almost 500 years before the birth of Christ, so 2,500 years ago by the prophet Zechariah. And it's coming. Let's go to Colossians. Back to the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians. Then you're going to find Colossians. I hope you know your Bible and hope you enjoy studying it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory. You understand what they're saying? You see, the rapture of the church is the next event to take place. Right now, this is the church age. It's a day of grace. It is never in all of history a better time, an easier time to be born again. Right now, the Holy Spirit will show you the way to salvation, and that's through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He took your sins away. You just need to come by faith to him and trust in him. So please that you do that today, because we are in right now the day of grace. That day is going to end when Jesus calls us home. We don't know when that's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But it's coming, and it's coming very soon. And when he calls the church home, all true believers, not church members, but true believers, that Jesus and him alone took my sin away and saved me. Him alone. We will go home to be with him. And then for the next 7 years, we are told of the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we're going to be doing. Now, if you have rejected that truth and you're trusting again in something of your religion or a church or your baptism or communion or anything that you're trusting in other than Jesus Christ and him alone, then you're going to go right into this tribulation period. So we have this tribulation period. At the end of that, first 3.5, as I've said, will be somewhat peaceful. But halfway through, that old devil is going to show his true colors, and it is going to be the most horrible time, starvation and death, and in every means they're going to put to death anybody that trusts in Jesus. That's going to be the attempt. God will, as he says, if it not be shortened, there wouldn't be one person live through it. But Jesus has got his timeline. There will be many that will survive this. But if you get the mark of the beast, the 666, then you cannot be saved. And that is when judgment will come. And as it says here in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We're coming with him. Because, you see, we went home. 7 years we've been with him. Now we're coming back. We're coming back. And it gets better. Let's go back to Revelation once again. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. This is the end of the tribulation period. This is the revelation of Jesus. This is when he comes. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, that's us, upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to read that 15th verse again. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That is his word. That's all he needs to do. He doesn't need a gun. He doesn't need a literal sword, because the Word of God will be spoken by God, by the Lord Jesus. And when he speaks, it will literally slaughter all those that have rejected that precious word. Jesus desires that all be saved. But he does not require you to come. He invites you to come. Please, today, listen to that invitation and trust in the Lord Jesus. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. What words. What powerful, powerful words. As we return back to Matthew 24, And we look at this 27th and 28th verse here, we find, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." You see, the Old Testament prophets had two great prophetic principles. The first was the judgment of Almighty God. And the next was the glory. That's the only two that they saw. They did not see the church age, the day of grace. This remained a mystery to them. Paul, in Ephesians 3, has something to say about that. Let's go back to Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 3. And we're going to read several verses. There's 12 verses here we're going to read. And so, Ephesians chapter 3. "For this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heaven, in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Paul there explains how that it was hidden from Israel. You see, they were called first. They were God chosen, still are God's chosen people. But because they rejected the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejected him when he came. They were looking for someone that was going to take away the rule of Rome from there, the bondage that Rome was putting upon them. They were looking for someone to take that away. They were not looking for a Savior. And that's the world today. We have all the social programs that anyone could ask for, but no one tells the truth concerning that we are sinners, we're going to die in our sin if we do not accept the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, the Jews had an opportunity and they turned it aside. They didn't do anything with it. They kind of changed it and kept it for themselves. So Jesus set them aside, and he opened the door for us, for the Gentiles, to do the same. We have not done a very good job of reaching the world. So many folks today do not want to hear the truth or have not heard the truth because we have not taken them to them, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We are in right now the day of grace. The Holy Spirit calls you. If your heart, you're feeling that heart today just tugging, please, you look to the Lord Jesus and say yes to him. And say, "I am so sorry that I'm a sinner. my sin, I can't do anything with it. But you tell me that you've taken my sin away, and I believe it. I believe it. Call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation, please. The Old Testament prophets did not write about the rapture. They only talked about the revelation, the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so when we go back now to the book of Matthew, and we read where upon this arrival, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. As we look at this scripture verse now, we find that here, the Hebrew and the Greek, both this word eagle is not as we would think. We find the beautiful, majestic animal, the bald eagle that we look to and think of being a great example of the United States. This word here, eagle, is translated vulture. In Revelation 4:7, that is a proper calling for the word eagle, yes. But in almost every other place, the word eagle translates vulture. Now, the true eagle, the eagle that we know, yes, you'll see from time to time that they may feast upon something that's dead, but most of the time they will hunt their prey and they'll eat that prey fresh. That's an eagle. Now, a vulture, on the other hand, they desire the dead carcasses. It's kind of a picture of the Jews today in Judaism. They have become a carcass, dead, corrupt, spiritually fit for the vulture. What a sad statement. This term here in verse 28 came to light or come to pass in 70 AD. That was an example because I believe that it took place then, but that is not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about here is the end of the tribulation period. The destruction of Jerusalem, there were so many dead bodies, and the vultures are very prevalent in Palestine. And so I believe that they had a picture, a small picture of what's to come at the end of the tribulation. The reason that for the destruction in 70 AD, the destruction of Jerusalem, is because of their disobedience. Jesus come, he come to seek and to save those that are lost. And they continued to bring offerings and sacrifices, the very pictures that pictured the coming of the Messiah. They ignored the real Messiah, the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and they began and continued to bring their offerings and sacrifices. God said, enough's enough. In 70 AD, he destroyed the temple so that they could not bring a sacrifice anymore, could not bring any more offerings. And then he just scattered them around the world. There'll be a regathering during this tribulation period. The real day will come at the end of the tribulation, and that is found in Revelation chapter 19, and that's where we'll begin next time we get together. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, you can read that if you'd like, because that's what we're talking about here as far as the eagles or the vultures be gathered together to eat the flesh of rich men, of kings, of presidents, of poor men, of all that have rejected that precious word. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?